reason that we do this as often as possible is because we want to make God's kingdom bigger. We want to bring more people to the throne of grace, and we want to make God's heart sing. And so we are going to play the Holy City just as a token of our love to Him and our desire to be there.
Good evening, friends. Welcome. It's a great and joyous moment, isn't it? To come together as friends and family to celebrate and rejoice lives being dedicated to Christ, His kingdom growing, and our family growing. And that's a wonderful thing. So I'm thankful that you all came out to celebrate with us and to rejoice with them as well. Jonathan's going to have our opening prayer, and we'll have some congregational songs as they prepare.
Please, would you bow your head with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the way that you have blessed and guided and led in these people's lives that are now dedicating themselves to you. We thank you, Lord, for the victories gained. We know that the enemy is not happy about these people's decisions for you, but all of heaven, we know, rejoices. So we just want to be part of that rejoicing today. So please fill us with your Spirit. Fill this place with your angels, and may we rejoice together in their decision to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to draw near to thee. And in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, we rejoice that we can be here to witness again the only miracle that heaven considers to be of most importance, the miracle of a changed life and a Christ-centered life. We ask that your blessing will be with us, and we thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're grateful that Vance and May have decided to recommit their lives to Christ. Husband and wife. And there's no better blessing in a home than when husband and wife are together heart and heart with the Master. Vance, you left your home many years ago, Cuba. And you came to try to find something different up here. But when did you dream that what you would find would be the greatest treasure? So praise God that May and Vance have decided to recommit their lives to Christ. They were baptized a long time ago, but they recognized that when they were, they really didn't know the Lord, nor did they know much about Him. But they have grown in their faith in Christ, and finally they have decided that they want to seal their lives forever with Christ, with a full understanding now that Jesus is not only Savior, but Lord of their lives. Amen. So May, since ladies are always first, we're going to do you first. And Vance, if you can just stand right here. All right. May, you have loved the Lord. You have come to know Him. And you have rejoiced in following Him. But you want to make sure that the knot is tied. Just like in marriage, it's one thing to love somebody. It's another thing to be married to Him. And because it is your desire to be fully His, as a minister of the gospel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brother Vance, you've come a long way and a long journey. But your journey is not over yet. When the Master comes, that will actually be the journey of all journeys. When you see your Lord and take that trip to heaven, in fulfillment of the promise of your Lord who said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And because, my brother Vance, it is your desire to commit your life fully to Christ, as a minister of the gospel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Barbara and her son Charles, mother and son. And it's always a joy to see families being joined together in Christ. Especially since after the message this morning, we desire to be complete families in the kingdom. What do you say? And so today, we have the joy of baptizing Barbara and Charles. I should say that some of the family are here, and in honor of the family, we are rejoicing that you are making this commitment. So Charles, I'm going to ask you to stand there to the side. And since your mother came before you did, then I'm going to baptize her first. Barbara, you have gone around in circles, but praise God, he brought you back where you belong, in God's family, in God's people. And you have a desire, not just to follow Jesus, but to have your family, your loved ones, likewise. And I remember my mother, who always prayed that all the boys should be in the flock. She asked God not to let her go until the last of the boys be in. And she had the joy of seeing that last boy, who seemed to be an impossibility because he was into all sorts of things that he loved. But finally, by God's grace, he made a decision. And all of us were privileged to see him being baptized. So we pray that this is a beginning that will continue in your family, that at long last, you with your little chicks will be in the kingdom together. And Barbara, because you have made your decision to follow Jesus as your Savior, that's the gospel. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have rejoiced in seeing Charles grow in the Lord. And he has an enthusiasm that I hope will be contagious. He decided to start listening to the Bible. And he ran out of it. And so he said, Pastor, when are you going to get me the rest of the stuff so I can continue to listen to it? I'm glad that he considers the Bible good stuff, what do you say? And that he wants to grow in knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. And Charles, because it is your desire to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to walk in harmony with his ways and live for him, as a minister of the gospel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Eva has been attending the meetings, but she's also been worshiping at the Roseburg Church. But she has been coming here night after night listening to the message. She also attended the program to quit smoking. And I want to tell you that she not only had the bout with smoking, but other substances that God, by His grace, has been delivering her from. What do you say? And so with the Lord, there's no shortness of strength or power to deliver. And Eva, we said, well, look, we can put you off. No, I don't want to be put off. I want to be baptized as soon as possible. I can relate to that because when I became converted, I wanted to get baptized immediately. Well, I didn't understand what baptism meant, and the pastor tried to put me off. But I begged him. I said, look, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done with the world, and I want to follow Jesus. And I promise you, I said, that I'm going to follow Jesus all the way until the last. And praise God, the Lord has kept me that long. And if He can keep me, He can keep you. Amen. Amen. So Eva, because you want to be a daughter of Jesus, you want to follow Him, you want to obey Him and keep His commandments and live in harmony with His will.
Yeah.
But you also want to be washed from your sins.
Yeah.
And begin a new life with Christ. As a minister of the gospel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. From here on out, remember the song, I Surrender All. We rejoice in Jerry's decision also in deciding in his young life to follow the Master. Amen. I know when I decided I was 21, and as I look back, I wish I had done it earlier. But by God's grace, He's kept me all this way. And the Lord will keep you. But I pray that you will not only serve the Lord as your Savior, but that you will obey Him and follow Him where He will send you. I hope you heard what I said. Where He will send you. I thought that I was going to be going back to a machine shop and working. The Lord had other plans. And who knows if the Lord will not have plans for you to be a preacher of the gospel. And so, we're glad to rejoice that Pastor Shirk and his wife are here,
Amen.
Pastor of the Myrtle Creek Church, in which Jerry is going to be attending.
Amen.
And we wanted him to be here so he could see a new lamb coming into the flock. We're grateful that you've come, Pastor Shirk and Mrs. Shirk. And so we rejoice in the decision, Jerry. And because it is your desire to follow Christ, to make Him your Lord and Savior, to go wherever He leads you, as a minister of the gospel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In every baptismal service, we're told that the Spirit of God is present, as He was present in the day when Jesus was baptized. And the Holy Ghost descended upon Him in the form of a dove. And He is the one that impresses hearts to yield themselves to Christ. And in every baptism, there are always those who are in the midst, as I remember myself, attending for the first time a baptismal service with my older brother. We began a chain of events in my life that led me to follow the Master. And so today, perhaps there's somebody here who has not yet been baptized, or who has and wishes to be rebaptized in following Christ, and you would just like to lift up your hand and say, I want to prepare to likewise be baptized as these who have taken their stand tonight have been baptized. Is there one that would raise their hand and say to the Lord, yes, I would like to prepare. I would like to study baptism, and I want to be baptized on a future date. Anyone here, if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, and you would like to lift up your hand and say, yes, at a future date, I would too would like to see my life with Christ. Is there one? If you notice, I'm not lowering my hand too soon. And the reason I don't is because I know that any time an appeal is made, there's always a struggle. But we want Jesus to have the victory. What do you say? So if there's one, a young person, who has not given their life to Jesus yet in baptism, but would desire to in the future, would you like to raise your hand at this time? We would pray, and then we would prepare you. Is there one? The invitation has been extended. Let us pray together. Holy Father, we thank you so much for these who have committed themselves to you. How marvelous you are, how wonderful are your mysteries. How it is that a life of sin in a moment's time can be washed away. Only you can do things like that, and we praise you. And now we ask your blessing upon them and your Spirit to come upon them, and that by your grace they will be fortified to live lives that will resemble the life of Jesus. Thank you for hearing us. In his name, amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's always such a pleasure for me to be able to welcome each one of you to our graduation dedication. The reason it's a pleasure for me is because I know it means a lot to our students. And I'm just so thankful that you've chosen to spend this time with us this evening. So I just want to tell you a little bit about the symbols that are here on the table. The Lord says when he gave the visions to John, it says there that God the Father and Jesus Christ gave the message to John, but he gave it through the angel to John the prophet, and then he gave it to the churches. And so we see here that John is writing in the scriptures. He's telling us what's taking place. He's telling us that God is giving him this message. God the Father and God the Son are giving him this message to give to the churches. And so we have the churches, the church here, and we have the Word of God, and we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not that you don't know, but I just want to tell my graduates how important it is that the Trinity is working together. All of them are completely desirous that you be saved. Not only are they desirous that you'll be saved, but they're desirous that you will give others the opportunity to be saved. And so they're working together. Around the Trinity candle there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there are a crown of thorns. And it's around all three of them. Why is it around all three of them? It's around the three because they all felt the pain that sin brought to the Son of God. They all felt it. And they wanted so much to make that sacrifice effective. And so the crown of thorns is around that. Then you see around that, you see the vine. What did Jesus tell us about the vine? He said that you need to be grafted into me. If you're grafted into me, then you can bear fruit. That's the only way we can truly bear fruit, is if we're grafted into Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want us just to be grafted in and like in the morning, just spend a few hours or a few minutes with him. He wants us to be grafted in so that their connection is always there. And so it's very important for us, Mission College, to make sure that our students are grafted into Jesus Christ. And I think that that's one of the things that's going to make next Sabbath very special. Can I say that? We have one of our graduates that is going to be baptized next Sabbath in rededication to Jesus Christ. And that's what it all means to us, is that we are able to know that our students are truly grafted into Jesus Christ. So that tells you what the symbols are. A little bit about Mission College. About 1995, my husband and I were doing trainings. Well, actually, it was in 1980. My husband and I were doing trainings in Kansas City, Missouri. And we were training 38 lay preachers. And we had the young and the old. I think the youngest one was 14. And he was a little spitfire of a little fellow that just was really on fire for God, and he was really doing wonderful things for the Lord, and he was really anxious to get trained in being able to preach. But then we also had a gentleman that was in his 30s, and he was always so distant. You would talk to him, and it would be like, he was not looking at you. And we thought, you know, that's interesting, because he always was looking out there someplace. I know that there were things going on in his head. That's okay. But there was a veil almost over his face. But it came to this morning that the preachers were going to be preaching, and he was one. And he preached on Ephesians chapter 6. And as he was preaching that, I want to tell you that his face glowed. The veil was gone. And I said to myself, Lord, this is the answer that our people need. They need to be trained. They need to understand how they can cooperate with God and to work with him to save souls for his kingdom. And so that's why I went home and I wrote the curriculum for Mission College. It was about 15 years later that I was actually able to put it into practice. And 15 years later, we started our school in South Dakota, Black Hills. Beautiful, beautiful spot. And that's where we started our college. Then it got to the place that none of our classes could fit in one church, so I needed a larger facility and I needed a larger population base. And so I moved out to Oregon. Then my husband was taken to Guam, and so we took the training over to Guam, and we did about 8 trainings with the natives there, and we had a lot of people come over from the States as well. And now we're coming back from Guam. And we're very excited about coming back. But I'll tell you something. We've gotten the passion. It's bit us really badly that we need to do more to train. And as we're wanting to do this, we've looked at our calendar, and we're wanting to schedule training seminars like this seminar that you've had here. But we want to do a training seminar along with that. So we're going to be doing that both here in the States and overseas. And so we're just so excited about the fact that Mission College will go on and it will continue to work, I hope and pray, till the Lord comes back. Amen. We're just thankful again that you could be here. It makes us warm in our hearts. And we thank you for spending this time with us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the program. It's time for the students to come up and give the scripture readings and the prayer.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, before we read these Bible texts and promises and share with you what they meant to us, we would like to invite our teachers for a special surprise. So if Pastor Torres and Mrs. Torres could come up, we have something quite special for you to remember this class.
If you don't permission.
So, don't be afraid. I'd like to share my favorite scripture promise, which is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, number 6 through 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." This promise has meant a lot to me, as I have been in situations where I felt that no one could understand me, where I felt that I was being mistreated, or when I have had too much to do and I can't handle it. This promise has been so precious. I can humble myself under God. He will exalt me in due time. He will rectify the misunderstandings in his time. And we can cast all of our cares and burdens on him.
Mission College for me was a really turning point in my life. And I choose two of my favorite verses. And actually, it's not only mine, but I know that it's my mother's favorite verses too. It's in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. I'll give you a later end and an expectation." And in other version, it says also that, "I know the plan I made for you, and I think that God has a plan for each one of us. And if we want to follow him, he will guide us in the path he wants us to follow." And the second one is in Judges 6, verse 14. It says, "Go in this thy might." So in French, it says that go with the strength you have. And I know that if I'm what I am today, it's because I had a wonderful family, and especially a wonderful mom that gave a lot for me and my sister. And she didn't have any strength, but she went with the strength she had. And now we're grateful to be in God's hand every day.
I discover in my life that when you pray, you need to be open to receive what you ask. For many times in my life, I was afraid to pray because I know that works. And my verse is in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." God can change lives, and I think you have the bulletin. I will be here for more 5 months, and I ask your prayers because I want to follow the Lord and help people to be saved.
Amen. When I was age 11, in the morning before going to school, I was reading the Bible, and I was reading Isaiah 58, and I decided, when I read verse 11, I say, "Wow, I like this verse. I want this verse. I want to memorize this verse, and I want this verse to be my favorite promise for all my life." And I'm going to tell you in French the way I memorized it, and then I'll read it to you in English for those who don't understand French. L'Éternel sera toujours ton guide. Il rassasiera ton âme dans les lieux arides et il redonnera de la vigueur à tes membres. Tu seras comme un jardin arrosé, comme une source dont les eaux ne tarissent point. In English, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail not. And the Lord has wonderfully already fulfilled his promise for me. I'm no longer 11, I'm reaching, I have passed 59. But I am very, very thankful for the work of Pastor Torres and Carol to train me for this work, to be in the Wild Indian Valleys, watered garden, like this spring of waters, because the spring of water is not a, it's not a stagnant water that you keep the water for yourself. A spring of water is supposed to splash up water on everybody around. So that's what I want my mission to be everywhere I go. Thank you. So I want you to bow your heads, and we are going to ask the Lord to bless each one of us, ask the Lord to prepare us for a special mission. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. I don't have enough words to tell you how thankful I am, and I believe that's the same for all my friends, Jonathan, Esther, and Rodrigo. Thank you for what you have let us be witness of in this little place. Lord, we have seen your spirit working, and we have seen that the training that has been given to us is a powerful tool to touch hearts, to touch lives, to bring souls into your kingdom. Lord, please, in a special way, bless those souls that have just dedicated their lives to you through baptism. And we want each one of us to rededicate our own lives in service to our neighbors, to mankind, and to all the people toward whom you send us. Bless also each members of this community, that they all be also like a spring of water that failed not, like a well-watered garden. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would like to begin with a statement that would be the foundation of the message. The warmth of true friendship, the love that binds heart to heart, is a foretaste of the joy of heaven. I'll read it again. The warmth of true friendship, the love that binds heart to heart, is a foretaste of the joys of heaven. In Matthew chapter 13, you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. And verse 3 to 9, Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and to the people. And as the disciples are standing there listening, Jesus begins to utter a parable. In verse 3, he begins, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus used this parable of the seed to explain the marvelous workings of the husbandman, which is Christ, among the people of earth. He came to scatter the seeds of truth so that those who longed for eternity could absorb the seed and through it become all that they could become for Christ. First of all, in verse 37, it says, "He that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man." So Jesus sowed the seed. The seed, in turn, is the Word of God. And there's a wonderful statement that says, "Every seed has in itself a germinating principle. In it, the life of the plant is unfolded." So, there is life in God's Word. I like that, don't you? There's what? Life in God's Word. Christ says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John chapter 6, verse 63. And then in John 5:24, he says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life." Christ, then, is telling us that his word has life in it. When, therefore, you and I take the word, we're taking into ourselves an energizing element that is able to produce in us the qualities that the Word of God has in it. And that is the life of Christ. So the seed being cast is the Word of God, and it has a purpose for casting the seed. I don't know how many of you have gone out into a garden and just thrown seed just for the sake of throwing seeds. All of you who put seed in the ground do so with a purpose. There's an intent. There's a goal. There's a hope. There's a what? A hope. And so, in order for us to experience that, we must cast a seed. I'm thankful for the tomatoes that we were able to eat for a few weeks that some kind church member passed along to us. And I'm very thankful, by the way, for the persimmons that was given to me. The only problem is that they are not yet ripe. And you know what happens when you eat unripe persimmons, right? The mouth goes dry. Well, I asked Jonathan if he had tasted one of those persimmons, and he said, "Yeah, I did. I made a mistake. My mouth just turned dry." So the persimmons, the fruit, everything that we cultivate, we do so with the intent that at long last we may benefit from the fruit or the vegetables or the produce that come to us. So Christ, when he sowed the seed, he did so with hope. With what? With hope. And that's good news, what do you say? Because it means then that the word is not just cast broad out there with no real intention or purpose. But it does have a purpose. And the purpose is that it will do something in the human heart. Now, having said that then, Christ says that in every seed then is the life. And I would like to add these words. In every promise of the Word of God, and in every command of the Word of God, is the power, the very life of God by which the command can be fulfilled and the promise realized. I'm so grateful for the many promises in the Word of God that when you turn to them, you can claim them and expect. And what? Expect that there be results. Well, the same laws that apply to the physical planting of fruit, seeds, etc., applies to soul winning. God in Christ gave us an example of what to do with the seed. It cannot lie dormant on your shelf. It cannot be collecting dust. It must be scattered. Must be what? Scattered. But how do we scatter that seed? It must be by going out. By doing what? By going out. In essence, by doing what I just mentioned, we demonstrate that we come heart to heart with Christ. Because Jesus left heaven and came down to earth to spread the seed of salvation so that by God's grace, you and I could in turn become heart to heart with him and likewise spread his seed so that others can receive the same benefits that you and I receive. Recently, I got two mangoes. And I made mention that I like mangoes. So what do you suppose some church member did? They gave two mangoes. Now, I love mangoes. And when I go to the Philippines, I always tell the people who are going to be taking care of providing the food, buy all the mangoes you can. And I just relish mangoes. But listen, I don't just want to eat mangoes by myself. Normally speaking, when I go to the Philippines, I don't go by myself. I take people along with me. And one of the things I do is I prepare their minds for what? For mangoes. And I tell them, when you get there, you don't want to miss the mango. Oh yes, we're not going there just to eat mangoes. We go in there to minister to people. We provide free medical service and dental service and eye service. And many times when we go out to these places, we see thousands of people that we minister to in a week time. But besides being able to do that, and by the way, by doing that, by casting the seed, we expect to see fruits. I'll never forget that one time we went over to the Philippines. And it was my responsibility to train the leadership of the ASI organization. And when I went there, I coached them. And every day I would coach them to cast the seed, to throw the seed, to cast the seed, to preach the word. And I told them that if they were faithful doing what Jesus did, that they should expect to see what? Results. And so I can tell you that there was not one dry eye when on Sabbath we baptized 3,500 people. Those lay people could not stand still when they saw that, and they could not wait until they came back to the United States to tell everybody that casting the seed works. Praise the Lord, what do you say? It does work. There is power in the Word. So, God wants that seed to be planted in good soil. And by the way, when it says good soil, sometimes we think, because it says there, sun fell on good soil. See that? Problem is that on this earth, it's not too many good soils, because it's speaking about human hearts. And I don't know anyone that's of themselves good. Do you? In fact, the scripture says there's not one that's righteous. No, not one. And it says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So, when you throw the seed then, it is important to do something with the soil. The parable is simply telling you that if the seed falls in good soil, but it does not mean, however, that there's no work for you to do other than casting the seed. You must prepare the soil. You must do what? Prepare the soil. For example, we have been here for 3 months in the area. The students have been knocking on doors. They've been opening the Word. They've been sharing the Word. They've been helping people with particular issues in their lives. They have ministered to them week after week, week after week. The soil has been prepared so that by the time the seed is cast, broad spectrum, then we should expect to have fruits. If you notice in the program, you notice the title. They are the fruits of what? Notice what it says there. I don't know if you noticed that. The fruit of God's love through our labor. So we rejoice that God impressed through the preaching of the word may advance to recommit their lives to God. And that brought joy to us. What do you say? We rejoice that Jerry, a young man, decided to give himself fully to Christ. We're thankful that Charles has become another recipient of the Word of God that fell into his heart, and Barbara as well. And we're grateful also that herself decided that she wanted to make that full commitment to Christ. So, we have seen results. What do you say? And we rejoice in that. So, you have to prepare the soil. And church, one of the things that I recognize that needs to happen in every church, and that is that all members need to be involved in preparing the soils. So when the seed is cast, it does not fall in stony ground, nor does it fall among thorns and thistles, nor does it fall by the wayside, but it will fall in good soil that has been prepared to receive the Word of God, and thereby some of these people, hopefully, will not produce not only tenfold or twentyfold. We pray that as a result of receiving the Word in their hearts, that they can go out themselves and likewise cast the seed, and many come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What do you say? That's why we're here. That's why we train. That's why they came for training, so that they could find out how they can be more effective in reaching hearts for the kingdom. And by doing that, they've come to be heart to heart with the sovereign of heaven. Nothing greater, friends, than being a friend of God. You know, when I read about Abraham, and it says, Abraham was God's friend. And I thought to myself, oh, if I could only hear God say about me, Louis is my friend. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't you all love to hear that? Yeah, that would be a wonderful thing. Which means then that there's nothing more than God desires than to be friends with us. And there's nothing more than God desires that likewise could be friends with him. To have a lasting relationship. You know, when Enoch was here on earth, Bible says that he walked with God. But I can tell you that that did not just happen overnight. Because to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. Is that true? When somebody says that they don't have any faith, it simply means that they don't know God. Because when you have faith, it means you know somebody. Is that true? Yes or no? Of course it does. And so, Enoch, then, to have become acquainted with the Lord in heaven, which meant, then, that he had to have a heart longing for God. And then it says that he walked with God. And I can imagine in my mind that as Enoch developed a closer relationship with Christ, the Lord longed to come and visit Enoch and talk with him. Can you imagine the Lord coming up to Enoch in the morning and saying, Enoch, time to wake up. How many of you have ever been awakened by the Lord? Any of you? Yes, it's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? When you realize that the Lord woke you up so that you can spend time with him. And so Enoch wakes up, and the Lord then takes a long walk with Enoch, talking about the things of glory and the blessings of the heavens and all the things that he's planning for those that love him. Now, it's one thing to hear about these things, it's another thing to actually see it. So Enoch comes home with the Lord, And he goes to sleep. Next morning, what do you suppose happens? Enoch, time to wake up again. Enoch wakes up and again takes a long walk with the master and finally come back home. Next time, the Lord comes back again. Hey, Enoch, wake up. I want to spend time with you. Yes, Lord. Wakes up and again they begin to walk. This time they're walking and walking and walking. And finally, Enoch realizes, hey, Lord, we've walked too far. We won't be able to get back home before sunset. And the Lord must have told Enoch, Enoch, this time I want you to go home with me. You don't need to go back. And I believe, friends, that when you and I become heart to heart with the Savior, you long to see souls won. You long to be heart to heart with Him and sacrificing and doing whatever you can to bring hope, salvation to others, that you begin to walk with Christ in a very special way. Because He said, go ye, and if you go, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Lord wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to guide you. He wants, most important, to be your friend. But He also wants you and me to become heart to heart. To have the same burden that He had. And the reason He left heaven, the glory above, was to come and develop relationships with mankind in such a way that at last He can say to them, my home is closer. Let's go there. Yeah. Do you long to be heart to heart with God? Do you long to witness for God? If not, you can pray that. You can say, God, give me a burden for the lost. Give me a zeal. Help me, Lord, to be heart to heart with You in reaching out to those who don't know You. And if you cannot go, if you happen to be a person who is incapable of going, then by all means, you can be heart to heart with Him in sending others in your behalf. And if you cannot do that, then you can give from your heart to the gospel, so that by God's grace, others can go and preach the gospel, and many can find the way to eternity. The Bible says in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, but thus saith the Lord. Who's speaking? The Lord. To the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Do what? Break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Means then that you and I have a work to do in reaching this community by breaking up the fallow ground and by not sowing among thorns. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness on you. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, students, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This morning I spoke about the prodigal son. But more importantly, I spoke about the yearning father, the waiting father, the praying father, the agonizing father, the heartbroken father who saw his son going in the wrong direction, but who longed for that boy to come back. We must pray then that God will use us to be about our Father's business. Question then, Is your father's business your business? If it is not, can you make it your business? Do you want to make it your business? Students, do you want to continue to make it your business? Just so that you know, we have students from Europe. Sweden is represented, and Finland, of course, by Jonathan and Hulda. Then you have Portugal, represented by Rodrigo. Then you have France and Italy, represented by both Esther and France, and then Italy by Danielle. But since Esther lives in Switzerland, then it also represents Switzerland. I know where you came from, young lady. I remember holding your hand when you were a little girl. It's great to know that these young people are returning back to their country to share and spread the word and be heart to heart the Master. But I must make the appeal to you folks, students first. Is it your desire to keep that love of Christ in your heart and to be heart to heart with the Master until he finally comes second? I'm asking the student. Andrea? And by the way, Rodrigo is not my son, though he looks like me. But I love them all like my children, and I'm just grateful that God has given us the pleasure and the privilege to work with them. But you have seen their responses. And so at this time, I want the students to go up in your response to take up that flame and to light it. Man, why don't you stand here so they can take a picture? And this is Esther. Rodrigo. Listen, turn around so they can see your face. He is smiling, by the way. And then they have. Last but not least, thank you so much.
Thank you for your loving.
Before we have a dedication for the students who just finished and have received their diplomas, are there any of you who would like to join them in sharing the light? And if you so desire to do that, would you come up here and take one of these little lights and join us up here before we have prayer. Anthea, could you play for us this little light of mine? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to share your love, to understand your love, to receive your love, and that we can be heart to heart with you in your Son's leaving heaven and coming to save that which was lost. Oh God, that we respond to that appeal. Please fill us with your Spirit and do for us and through us that which we can never accomplish in our strength. Use us to your glory. Bless the students that they return back to their respective places. Use them, Father. And then those who remain in this community, make them bright lights that many will come to know the Savior and to long as well to have a place with Jesus in the kingdom. Bless this church. Bless the pastors. And grant it, Lord, by your grace, the work can at last be finished so that we can hear the wonderful words from the Father. Welcome home, children. Bless us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.